Today's shiur is Masechta Kedushin Daf Tezvav, and we will begin on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom, Tashma. The Braisa will now, the Gemara will now attempt to bring a Braisa, which proves that, which discusses the shaila that we've been mentioning in the name of Shmuel, that Shmuel says that if somebody sells to someone else a stolen piece of property, and then the owner comes and claims his property from this buyer, the buyer has recourse to go back to the person who sold him the stolen piece of property and require him to compensate him for the money he paid for the property. However, Shmuel said he cannot request of him to pay for the improvements that he might have made to this property. And we explained, because Shmuel holds, that this is a situation possibly of ribbis. It's a situation where if it seems that that the buyer is giving the seller more money, he's getting back more money than he originally paid, because he's getting back the purchase price plus the value of the improvements he made into the field. So the Gemara says, Toshma, we learned in a Braisa, Lachilas Peris Ketzad. When is there a situation where somebody gets compensated for the produce that he was taken away from him? Says the Braisa, Hareishu Gozal Sod Mechaveroi, if somebody stole a field from somebody else, Varehi Yoitse Metachas Yodoi, and now it leaves his possession, Shugoyva, when he collects compensation for his loss, goyves a kerem in the chasm shabadim, for the value of the field he can collect from the chasm shabadim, or payris, and for the payris he collects min chasm neichayim. So obviously, this brisa as it reads is a difficult brisa, because heichi dami, how will we understand the case of the brisa? Elam kriktani, if we will understand the brisa is as it reads, it's very difficult. Gazlan, if we're talking about the person who actually stole the property, Miman Govi, is he entitled to collect compensation? He's a Gazlan. Elo, it must be referring to situation. Lav, Kigon Shigazl Sod Mechaveri, somebody stole a field, or Machrol Acher, and then he sold that field to a buyer, Vishbicha, that buyer put improvements into the field, and the Braisa is teaching us that the purchaser, when he comes to get paid back for losing the field, could collect for the value that he paid from the seller's nechasim shibadim, and for the payers he could collect only from bnei chayrim. But obviously he's entitled to collect for the improvements that he put into the field. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hachav Ma'iskinen, this price is referring to a different situation. The price is referring to a situation, Kigon Shigazl Sodach Mechaverim Malaya Peris. Somebody stole a field from somebody else, and when he stole the field, had Peris in it. And this Gazlan, Achlas a Peris, ate up those Peris, V'chofa Baboris Sichrim Oris, and also did damage to the field. And now, Bar Nigzel, the true owner of the field, comes to collect from the Gazlan the field that the Gazlan stole from him. There is no person selling in this Braisa, according to this interpretation of Rava, somebody selling a stolen field. So Bar Nigzel Ligvois Keren, so when the owner comes to collect the Keren, the value of the field from the Gazlan, that he could collect even from the Mechasim Shibadim of the Gazlan. But Nigzal Ligvas Paris. But if the owner of the field comes to collect the Paris that were eaten by the Gazlan, that he could only collect Gaivim and Chasim Nechayim. Since this is something that's not well known, and as we have discussed so many times, in order to be able to collect from the Chasim Shabadim, it has to be something that the people who bought the property should have or could have been aware of, and therefore they Paris are not collected from the Chosim Shabadim, they're only collected from the Chosim Nechayim. Rabbi Afuna Amar has a different way of interpreting the Braisa. Kigoyin Shetnu Masikin. The Gazlan stole a field, and now extortionists came and confiscated that field from the Gazlan. And to review what we learned in the end of Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Tezayin Amid Beis, when the extortionist took this field, when the Masikin took this field from the Gazlan, it's not that they were taking everyone's fields. Because if they were taking everyone's field, then the Gazlan could tell the Nigzel, who now comes to approach him and tell him, give me back my field, Hareshul Cholofanecha, go to the Masikin and collect the field. Rather, we're referring to a situation where the Masikin took the field from the Gazlan specifically because it was by the Gazlan. Well, as we learned another example, the Gazlan pointed to that field. So now, but Nigzel Ligvas Keren, when the Nigzel comes to collect the Keren that he could collect from the Chosim Shabadim, but Nigzel Ligvas Peris, but he comes to collect the Peris that he lost by the Gazlan stealing the field, and now the extortionist taking it from him, that he could only collect from the Chosim Nechayrim. But what we have accomplished so far is that we have two interpretations of this Braisa that interpret the Braisa that have nothing to do with a Gazlan selling a field and to a buyer, and what recourse does that buyer have in claiming from the Gazlan, and therefore it has nothing to do with the subject that Shmuel was discussing. Says the Gemara, Rava loy amak Rabba Rav Huna, Rava doesn't interpret the Braisa the way Rabba Rav Huna interpreted the Braisa, because the Braisa says Harehi yoytze metachas yoda, that the field is being taken away from the Gazlan, bedina mashma, it's being taken away by legal means, not by mesikin, extortionist, which is the way Rabbi Rav Huna explained it. On the other hand, Rabbi Rav Huna l'amak Rava, Rabbi Rav Huna is not satisfied with Rava's interpretation, because according to Rava, the Gazlan did damage to the field, chafa babar sichra moiris. But the wording of the Braisa, which says Harehi yoytz metachas yada be'ena mashma, seems to mean that it wasn't damaged, and therefore he doesn't like Rava's explanation. Rav Ashi has a third way of explaining this Braisa, but again, according to Rav Ashi's explanation, we will not have a proof from this Braisa what is the din when a Gazlan sells a field to someone. What recourse does that individual have? For Rav Ashi says, Litzdodim Ktani, the way to understand the Braisa is to understand the Braisa is referring to two separate situations. One, Kigoin, Shigazel Sadach Mechaverim Malaya Paris, if somebody stole a field from somebody else which was full of Paris, V'ochalas Paris, and now the Gazlan ate up the Paris, and furthermore, Machas Asada sold the field. Teaches us the Braisa according to Rav Ashi, that now when the original owner takes his field back from the buyer of the Gazlan, and this Lokeach now wants his money back because he was sold a stolen piece of property, so Bar Lokeach Ligvis Karen, when the Lokeach comes to collect back for the value that he paid for the field, that he could collect, Goyvim Menachosim Shabadim, he could collect from the Menachosim Shabadim of the Gazlan. And bought Nigzel, Ligvis Paris, when the owner wants to collect from the Gazlan the Paris that he ate, so he could collect from the Gazlan, but he only could collect, as we explained earlier, Goyva, he could only collect those Paris, the value of those Paris, from the Chosim Nechayim. Ask the Gemara, Bein L'Rava, Bein L'Rabba Rav Huna, whether we follow Rava's interpretation or Rabbi Rav Huna's explanation, Milva Pehu, aren't we referring to a situation where if a Gazlan steals a field and now the owner comes and identifies the Gazlan and wants his field back, it's a situation of a milva peh? For we have learned, what is the definition of a milva peh versus a milva bishtar? What is the distinction? The distinction is that a milva bishtar, if somebody lends money, borrows money with a document, so everybody knows that I owe this money. So when somebody comes and buys a piece of property from me, He knows there's a lien on my property because I have an outstanding debt. Whereas if the money I owe to someone else is only a milvav apeh, an oral debt, something that is not so well known, people, when they buy property from me, have no way of knowing that I have a lien on my property, and therefore, if my Baal Chayv comes to collect from me, and I don't have money, and he wants to go to my Lekuchas, they could safely say they had no way of knowing that there was a mortgage on this property. Ask the Gemara, if a Gazlan stole a field, and now that field, now the owner wants to collect damages from the Gazlan, it's not well known to the Lekuchas of the Gazlan that the Gazlan stole the field and that the owner has a mortgage on that field. And therefore, why should the Lekuchas of the Gazlan be held responsible? Isn't this a situation of milva peh? And we know the halach is that milva peh and a guy from the chasm shabadim. Yet according to the interpretation of Rava and Rava of this Braisa, the Lekuchas, the Meshubadim of the Gazlan, are held responsible. And as the Rishonim explain, according to Rav Ashi, this is not a question, because Rav Ashi doesn't interpret the Braisa in a way that the Lekuchas of the Gazlan should be held responsible to the owner. But Rava and Rava's explanations do include that the Lekuchas of the Gazlan should be held responsible. And the question is, why isn't it, as we said, only a milva peh? Answers the Gemara, Hachav Ma'iskina, we're referring to the situation Kish'amid Bedin. The Gazlan stole a piece of property. The owner of that property took him to Din Torah. And the Din Torah paskined that he has to return that property. Now, the Gazlan went, for Hadar Zavin sold property. And as most Rishonim learn, once there was a psak of Bezdin that this Gazlan owes the Nigzel, the value of the field, so there is a call. And as we said a couple of moments ago, what distinguishes a milva apeh from a milva bishtar is the call. So here, since it was Amid Bedin, we have a call, and therefore the Lekuchas, people who bought property from the Gazlan, are or should be aware that there's a mortgage on those properties and that the Nigzel may come to collect. That's the way most Rishonim learn the Gemara, and that is the way we will, Mitzvah Shem, learn the Gemara. There is another pshat that Tosfos and Baba Basra suggest, that Tosfos and Baba Basra says that we view it as if it's already Tofes B'yadoi. Once Bezdin Paskin, that the Gazlan has to return the field to the Nigzel, the Halacha looks at it as if the Nigzel already has it, and therefore anybody who takes it knows that he's taking, or should know he's taking, something that he's not going to be able to hold on to. Ask the Gemara, again, following the pshat that we're going to learn with, Ihachi, that there's a call because there was a psak of Bezdin, then Peiris Nami. Why did the Braisa say that the Peiris, the Nigzel, could only collect from the Chasam and the Chayrim if we're saying there was a Psak of Bezdin? And the Psak of Bezdin establishes a call, so you should be able to collect Peiris from the Chasam and Shibadim also, answers the Gemara. Sh'amid b'din ala Karen, there was only Psak Bezdin regarding the Karen, v'loy amid b'din ala Peiris, but there was no Psak din on the Peiris, and therefore there is no call on the Peiris. Ask the Gemara, my Pascha, if the Nigzel took the Gazlan to Din Torah, didn't he take him for everything to Din Torah, both for the Karen and for the Peiris? Answers the Gemara, Stam de Milsa, the way it usually works is Ki Katova Inish, if the Nigzel wants to claim something from the Gazlan, Kana Tova Bresha, his first claim is for the Karen. That's where the money is, because that's the value of the property. And he's satisfied with that claim, and then he doesn't go on yet to talk about the Peiris. And here we're referring to a situation that there was a Din Torah, the Bezdin paskined that the Gazlan owes the value of the Keren to the Nigzel. The Gazlan went and sold the property, So the people who bought that bought property from the Gazlan should be aware that there's a mortgage to the value of the Keren, and nothing, and there was nothing that happened yet regarding the Paris. But indeed, according to this pshat, if there had been a dentira on the Paris, then he could collect from the Mishabadim even for the Paris. Tysus asks, if so, that this is the reason why King collect the Paris. Yesterday we said that the reason they can't collect Paris is when they tikkun oilam. As Tysfus, has nothing to do with tikkun oilam. It has to do because it's a milvah peh. Answers Tysfus that if not for the special takana that Chazal said because of tikkun oilam, then we would treat the Paris, even though they weren't the subject of the dentira, the same way as we treat the Karen. It's only because Chazal did not, because Chazal were concerned of Tikkun Olam, they didn't group the Paris together with the Keren. Ask the Gemara, the Sava Shmuel, Lekeach Migazlan Lesle Shvacha, is it indeed Shmuel's opinion that if somebody stole, somebody bought something from a Gazlan, and he put improvements into the field, and then the field is taken away from the spire, his recourse to his seller, the Gazlan, is only for the value of the field, not for the improvements he put into it. Ask the Gemara, V'amalei Shmuel, L'Rav Chinan Abashelis, Imlech, when you write a shtar, that you're selling property, you should write the following to protect the buyer. K'soif, Shufra, Shifcha, Uperi. You should include that whatever payment the seller may have to pay the buyer will be from the seller's best property, shifcha, and he'll have to pay for any improvements the seller, the buyer, made in this property, and he'll also have to pay for peri, for any fruit that grew that he'll have to get compensated for. Now let's analyze what was Shmuel speaking about. Ask the Gemara, B'mai, regarding what situation was Shmuel discussing? Even Bal Choyf, if we'll say that Shmuel was referring to situation that I bought a piece of property from someone, and then that property was taken away from me from the Bal Choyf of the seller. Ask the Gemara, that can't be what this bill of sale was talking to, because me Islay Peri, does the Bal Choyv collect Paris? Shmuel says, Bal Choyv gave us a Shvach. The Bal Choyv collects the improvements the buyer put into the field. Shvach in. He's only entitled to the Shvach. Aval Paris loy. The Bal Choyv is not entitled to the Paris. So if he's not entitled to the Paris, we can't be speaking about Bal Choyv. Elolav, isn't the case that this sack of Shmuel was speaking to? It was speaking to a situation of a lekeich migazlan. And yet, Shmuel suggested to the cipher that the gazlan, the seller, will have to compensate the buyer for the shvach. Here we're referring to a situation that the seller had property when he sold the he had property, others say he's paying back the purchaser with property, and therefore, even though, as we said at the beginning of the shiur, based on what we learned in the previous shiur, that Shmuel is concerned that if the Gazlan is paying his purchaser more than the purchaser paid him, because he's not only giving him for the value of the property that he paid, but also for the shvach, it looks like ribbis. If he's giving him property, or if, as other Rishonim says, say he has property, then it isn't ribbis. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Abaya, what does this mean? V'chimuta luvay saw b'saw. The halacha is that if somebody borrows a saw, he can't pay back the same of wheat, for example. He can't pay back another saw, because the price might have gone up, and it's ribbis. Now, is that mutter, as we'll discuss in Mitzvah Shem later in the Masechta, and Perek Ezer Neshach, will that be mutter, the Mokm Shesh Lekarka? Of course not. If it's ribbis, or it's mechsi karibis, it makes no difference if the party that's paying has property. Amalei, So he responded, Hosn Lavoy Hachazvini. And as Ritva explains, actually, in the case of our Gemara, there is no room for Ribbis. Because Ribbis is only in a situation of a halva, of a loan. Here there's no halva, there's a sale. Chazal, however, were stringent regarding Hilchus Ribbis, and they said that we have to be concerned about Mechsi Beribbis. However, if something is only Mechsi Beribbis, and furthermore, it's in a situation of a sale, Chazal were more lenient, and therefore here, B'makom Sheyesh Karka, that the Chazal will say that the seller has to compensate the buyer not only for what he paid for the property, but also for what he put into the property, the improvements. Ikadamri, another way of explaining this Pesach of Shmuel, that we're referring to a purchaser from someone from a Gazlin, there was a kinyan made that the seller, the Gazlin, will pay the purchaser if the purchaser puts into the property improvements, that he will compensate him for those improvements. Ask the Gemara the same question. Is just because there's a kinyan, and Shekhan B'Yodai, as the Rishonim point out, is that the Edom were part of this kinyan, but does that allow Ribbis just because there was a kinyan? And says the Gemara, the same title we just had. Amalek, Hasam Halva. In a situation of a Halva, even if we have a situation of Mechsi Karibis, we're not going to be lenient just because there was a kinyan. However, here, Hachazvin is really a sale. In a situation of a sale, there is no room for Ribbis. It's only a special Chumra de Rabbanon. So we take the fact that there was a sale, and it was Kana B'Yadoi, we could be more lenient. Gufa, Amar Shmuel, Bal Choyv Goyves Ashvach. A Bal Choyv, when he takes the property, there was a mortgage on a piece of property. And in other words, I had a piece of property that I had mortgaged to a loan. And I sold that piece of property. And now the Bal Choyv comes and collects the property from my purchaser. Not only does he take the property, but he also takes the Shvach that the purchaser put into the property. Amar Rava, Teda, I'll prove to you that is the halacha. Shekach koisav lo moichel lekeach. For that is what it says in the shtar that the seller gives over to the buyer. And the oikum, I will stand for ashve and silence, for atke and purify, for amrik zvine ilan. And I will make sure that this sale is a clean sale. Inan, regarding the properties purchased, vamaleyem, and any improvement that you put into the property, any expense you put into the property, v'shevcheyem, the value of the improvement over the expenses you put into the property, v'ekim kadmach, and I will stand with this agreement, v'tzavi zvinan danan, and then it says the purchaser agrees to this condition, v'kabalayu, and these terms have been accepted. So since he accepted upon himself to compensate the purchaser for his improvements, then the Bal Choyv could take the improvements from the purchaser, because the purchaser is going to get that money back from the person who sold him the property. Ask the Gemara, Amle Rav Chiba Rav and Larava. So he asked, if so, El Me'ata, according to this, Matana, the likes of Lehachi. In a sale, the purchaser's lawyer is likely to insist that the buyer protect himself, and this is the way he protects himself, with writing all of these clauses. However, when somebody is getting a piece of property as a gift, he takes the gift and he says, thank you. So, El Ma'ata, Matana de Lok Sivhachi, in such a situation where there is no protection to the receiver of the gift, so there should the halacha be that the creditor, the Bal Choyv, should not be allowed to take the improvement? I'm like, in, absolutely. It's only by a buyer who's going to get back the money that he put in for the improvement, do Chazal say, says the Gemara, that the Bal Choyv could take the improvement. But if he's not going to get that back, If the purchaser is not going to get back the money put in for improvement, then the Baal Chayiv might not take it. Ask the Gemara, this is difficult to understand. It turns out the following, that if I paid for the property that I bought from somebody else, and I put money into it to improve it, and now the Baal Chayiv of the seller comes and takes that property, not only will he take the property, but he'll even take the improvements I put into it. But if I receive the property as a gift, and then I put improvements into it, and then the Baal Chayiv comes and takes the property, he only could take the property, but not the improvements. But I didn't pay for this land, and yet I keep the improvements. Whereas if I would have paid for it, I wouldn't keep the improvement. Amalei in, yafa v'yafa. That is indeed the halacha. And the reason the halacha is that way is fairly simple. Because the purchaser has recourse back to his seller to get compensated for what he put into the property. The receiver of a gift doesn't have that opportunity, and he won't be able to go back to the person who gave him the gift. He won't be able to go back to him because he didn't pay for it, and therefore if he laid out money for improvement, the halacha is that he doesn't give that to the Baal Chayiv. Om Rav Nachman, Hamas Nisan Misaile Lemashmu, the Braisa we're about to quote supports Shmuel's Psak. V'Huna Chavrin Mukan Lavamil Achrinin. However, Rav Huna explains the Braisa to refer to a different situation. The Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa, Hamaycha Sadul Chaveroi, if somebody sells a piece of property to somebody else, V'Arehu Yoytz Metachas Yodai, and now it's taken away from the purchaser, Shugoyva, when the purchaser goes to collect compensation, Goyvas and the Kerem and the Chosm Shabadim, the purchase price that he's taking back, he takes from the Mechosim and Meshubadim of the seller, the Shvach, and the improvement he takes from the Bnei Chayim. Since the seller has to compensate the purchaser for the improvement that he put into the property, he could take it from the purchaser's Bnei Chayim. However, Vahuna Chavrin, Rav Huna explains this Braisa to speak to Lekech Megazlin. Because Shmuel can't say it's talking about Lekech Megazlin. Because according to Shmuel, the purchaser doesn't get paid, doesn't get compensated for the improvements he put into the field. Rav Huna, however, argues with Shmuel, and he says that even if somebody buys from a Gazlin, if he made improvement, he has a right to collect that amount from the seller, the Gazlin, and therefore he says it's referring to Lekech Megazlin. Tanya Idach, another Braisa. If somebody sells a piece of property to somebody else, and the buyer improves it, and now the Baal Chayiv comes to and takes it away from the purchaser, when the purchaser wants to collect compensation. So we have a situation that this purchaser, let's say, put $40 into this field that he bought, and that $40 investment resulted in the field going up in value by $100. So ima shvach yosel yitzia, that means the improvement in the field is $60 above the investment of $40. So the halach is noitel es shvach mibala karka. He takes the $60 from the seller, the yitzia, and the $40 from the Baal Chayiv. The mitzi is seir al shvach, but let's say the expenses don't equal the improvement to the field. He only could collect the minimal amount from the Baal Chayiv, the expenses up to the value of the improvement he takes from the Baal Chayiv. Now, let's try to analyze the braisa, says the Gemara. How will Shmuel interpret this braisa? He's going to interpret this braisa, ibelakeich gazlin. If he's saying that the purchaser bought a field from a gazlin, then we have kasheresha. The first part of the braisa will be difficult. Dom Shmuel has been telling us for the last two shiurim that lekeich mi gazlin less leshvacha. That if somebody buys a piece of property from the gazlin and he improves it, he doesn't get compensated for that improvement. And here it says that he does have a right to get it compensated from the gazlin, the seller, for the improvement. Even Baal Chayiv, And if we'll say that this braisa is referring to the Baal Choyv taking away the property from the purchaser, Kasha Reisha V'Sefer, then both the Reisha and Sefer are difficult to understand. Dama Shmuel, Shmuel's opinion is, Baal Choyv Goyves HaShvach. Shmuel says that the Baal Choyv is allowed to take the entire improvement without compensating the purchaser at all. And here the braisa says, it just depends how much the Baal Choyv will have to compensate the purchaser. Answers the Gemara, Ibai Seima. Shmuel could say that the braisa is referring B'lekech Megazlan. We said that Shmuel holds that if somebody buys for a gazlan and the purchaser improves the field, he's not entitled to compensation for that improvement from the gazlan. We gave in today's shir, says the Gemara, two exceptions where Shmuel will agree that lekech migazlan and makes an improvement, he can collect compensation for that improvement. Either kigon sheyesh lekarko, inami b'shikana miyodoy. That's how we, one way of explaining the braisa. Ibai seima, or we could say that the braisa is referring to Baal Choyv. We said that by Baal Choyv, Shmuel's opinion is that the Baal Choyv takes the entire property and he doesn't compensate the purchaser for improving the property. V'loy kasha. Kam b'shvach ha-megil k'fasayim. Kam b'shvach she-megil k'fasayim. And first we're going to explain the Gemara as Rashi explains. Rashi says there are three categories of shvach. There is shvach, there is an improvement that things grew from the property, but they're still very inedible produce. They're really considered part of the property. Then we have the other extreme. Produce that grew from the property that really doesn't have to be connected to the property at all. It's completely ready to be cut. And then we have the middle category where it's still connected to the property and it's benefiting from the property, but it doesn't really need it that much anymore. That kind of improvement, since it's really not that connected to the ground anymore, the Baal Choyv has to pay for. Can, when doesn't the Baal Choyv have to pay? B'shvach Shei Megil K'sosayim, where it's not connected, where it's not ready to be cut, that the Baal Choyv doesn't have to compensate for. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. That's the way we explain the Gemara. Baal Hamor has a different way of explaining the Gemara. He says, Shvach HaMegil K'sosayim means the improvement that the purchaser had to work hard for. To Megil K'sosayim means shoulders. He had to put a little energy to get that Shvach. So for that Shvach, the purchaser needs to get compensated from the Baal Choyv. But Shvach that comes easily, Ein Megil K'sosayim, he doesn't get compensated from the Baal Choyv. Ask the Gemara, is this true? Because V'ama isn't V'chamaisim V'chol Yoyim V'chamad B'Shmuel Afil B'Shvach HaMegil K'sosayim, that Shmuel would say the Baal Choyv takes the Shvach and doesn't have to compensate the purchaser under any circumstances. So therefore the Gemara gives a different answer. Lo kasha. Ha the masik by shir ara v'shevcha, ha the loy masik by eluk shir ara. It makes a difference. Again, let's try to put an example to what we're talking about. The seller sold the purchaser a piece of property that's worth $1,000. The purchaser put improvement invested into the field, and now this field is worth $1,100. Says the Gemara, in a situation with a debt that's owned to the Baal Choyv is $1,100 or more, so the Baal Choyv takes the entire property and doesn't have to compensate the purchaser. But if the debt is only $1,000, so says the Gemara, the Baal Choyv takes the property and he has to pay the purchaser $100 because the debt was only $1,000, not equaling also the improvement that the purchaser had to put into the field. That the choiv equaled or was greater than the value of the property and the improvement. Where the value of the debt was only the value of the property. the Yavle Shivcha, there the Baal Chayiv has to give the purchaser the value of the improvement, and then he takes the property. As the Gemara, this explanation makes sense. Ha nichleman da amar is leizuzi lekeach, that the halacha is that if the lekeach has money lematz masalkle lebal chayiv, that he can't just tell, if the purchaser has, even if he has money, he can't tell the bal chayiv take the money and don't take the property. Shaper, we could understand this approach. Eleman da amar, according to the man that says ki is leizuzi lekeach, what would be the halacha if the purchaser had money? He could, the halacha according to this opinion is matzah misalkle baal chayiv. He could tell the baal chayiv, take the money and I'll keep the property. Namely, so in this case, shouldn't the purchaser be able to say to the baal chayiv, iwa have leizuzi, if I had cash available, have a misalkin alach mekula ara, I would not let you take this property at all. I would give you the amount that you owed and I would tell you to leave. Hashtag less leizuzi, I don't have available cash. However, I can demand the least, says the Gemara. Havli gar b'da ara b'ara shir shechoy. The value of this improvement, the $100 of our example, I should not have to give you, you should not be able to just give me cash. I should be able to retain that much land that's equal to that amount, which is greater than the debt that you're collecting. Answers the Gemara. Here we're referring that it's not just that the Baal Chayiv is taking the property because the seller wasn't able to pay off his debt. This specific piece of property had been pledged as a collateral for this loan, where he said, and therefore the purchaser has a right, the Baal Chayiv has a right to take the property, but if it, there's an improvement which is greater than the value of the debt, then the halacha is that he has to give him that money to the purchaser. Says the Gemara, Hikabash Enishaloi, in a situation where the purchaser recognizes that this doesn't belong to the seller, Velocha, and he bought it anyway. So says Rav, Mos Yeshloi Shvach Einloi. He's entitled to get compensated for the value, but he's not entitled to get compensated for the Shvach. And as the Baal Amor quotes the Rajba, here clearly it's a situation of Mechzi Karibis, that even Rav, who disagreed with Shmuel in the previous Gemara, will say it's Mechzi Karibis, and therefore the purchaser is not entitled to the value of the improvement. The Shmuel Amar, Shmuel's opinion is, I feel it mos enloy, he's not even entitled to the mos. He's not even entitled to get back the money that he gave to the seller. Ask the Gemara, what is the basis of the machloikus of Rav and Shmuel? But my kamifki, says the Gemara, Rav sover, adim idei shakarka enloy. A person knows that this piece of property doesn't belong to the seller. The gom v'nos no shim bekodin. So therefore he gave it to him as a bekodin. And therefore, he has to return the money. Ask the Rishonim, if it was given as a Bekodin, then why is the halacha that if something happens to him, to it, he should be held responsible? Isn't the halacha that if somebody gives me a Bekodin, I'm not chayiv and einsim? So Rishonim say that the din is, you can't, there are certain b'ktoinis that you chayiv for anything that happens. And this would be such a situation that if I received it as a b'kodin, knowing that this is a stolen piece of property, I have to be careful even for einsim. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that even though the halacha normally is, you have to, by b'kodin, you could take back your b'kodin any time, here the halacha will be that the halacha is that you can't collect the bekodin until you get the person can't collect the bekodin until he gives back money. V'shmul sover v'neimalei l'shem bekodin. So if his intent was that it should be bekodin, shouldn't that he have said that? Sover loy mekabel. He thought that the seller will not accept the money for safekeeping if it wasn't, if I said I wanted to watch it, and that's why we made this charade. A person the buyer realizes that this property doesn't belong to the seller, the government nosel shematana, and therefore the money that he gave to the seller was really a matana. The name alelu shematana. So why doesn't he say that that was his intent? Says the Gemara, ksifle milsa, he's embarrassed because he's concerned that the person would be embarrassed to receive money. What is the basis of the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel? So one shot that I saw is that the Gemara says, "Hanoich matanal chaveroi tzarch lahediyai." If somebody gives a gift to someone else, he has to notify him. So in other words, everybody agrees that it makes more sense to say that it was given as a gift, not as a bikkudin. When I'm buying, I'm taking a stolen piece of property and giving money to the gazlan as a bikkudin. However, since the halach is that anois matan al chaveroi tzarch lo hediyoi, and here he didn't notify him, as we just learned that it's matana, therefore it cannot be considered a matana. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw from the Divrei Chaim goes back to the issue that we discussed in the previous year, that it's only an umdana, it's only a strong assumption that he meant it to be in a matana. And the machlokes, the debate between Rav and Shmuel, is that do we or don't we rely on a strong umdana? The Amakna gives a different explanation. We notice machlokes Rav and Shmuel if holchem mamon acharoyv or ein holchem mamon acharoyv. Shmuel holds ein holchem mamon acharoyv. Rav holds holchem mamon acharoyv. Therefore, says the Amakna, everybody agrees that it's more likely, as we just kept on saying, that it was given as a gift rather than as bekodim. Rav holds that we rely on Roif, that which dictates that the money, because Rav holds, on the contrary, that it's unlikely for somebody to give away their money in the form of a camouflaged gift. And therefore Rav holds that we rely on Roif, that says that the money was probably given as a bikkudin, not as a gift. Shmuel, however, holds that ain't holchem mamon acharoyv. So even though Shmuel agrees that it makes more sense that the money was probably given as a bikkudin than as a gift, we can't rely on that roif, and we have to treat it as a gift, not as bikkudin. Ask the Gemara for pligi b'chad zimna. This machloikis is a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel that we already have encountered. Ditmar makadosh es chaytzoi, if somebody makes kedushin with his sister, or as the Rishonim say, with any of the ervis, that people know you can't be makadosh an erva. Rav amar mos chayzrim, the money has to be returned. Shmuel amar mos matana. Rav amar mos chayzrim, because adam yedesh ain't kedushin tayvus b'chaytzoi. People are aware that kedushin are not tayvus with a sister, and therefore the gom of a nason l'shun b'kadin, and therefore the money has to be returned by the sister to the brother. Ask the Gemara again, the name of l'shun b'kadin. So why didn't the brother say that he was giving it as b'kadin? So again, because sovel amikavel m'nei, she won't want to hold the b'kadin on my behalf. Shmuel, on the other hand, holds mos matana. Adam Yadesh and Kedushin Tayus Machaisai. People are aware that Kedushin aren't affected with a sister. The Gom V'Nasim L'Shem Atana is again the question, if he meant to give his sister a gift, V'Nei Melol L'Shem Atana, why doesn't he say so? Again, K'sif L'Milsa, because he thinks his sister will be embarrassed to receive a gift. So now the question is, why do we have to have the same Machloikis twice? Answers the Gemara Tzricha. Deitman B'ha, if we only had the machlokes in the case of stolen property, we would suggest b'hokamer of the loy av the inch the yor of matanas l'nochra. It's unlikely a person's going to give a matana to a non-relative. Av gabah choysa, that people are likely to give their sister's gift. Eim amoydeh l'lishmo. Vi etber b'hach, if we only had the case by the sister, we would say b'hach kamishmul, that a brother gives a sister a gift. Ah, behold, in the case of stolen property, emoid l'rav, that it was given as b'kodin, tzricha, that's why we had to have machloikis in both cases. Ask the Gemara, bein l'rav don b'kodin, whether we follow the opinion of Rav, who says that it's given as b'kodin, bein l'shmul don matana, whether we follow the opinion of Shmuel that's being given as a gift, hay l'arab amay nochis, if the purchaser is aware that this is a stolen piece of property, how is he, what kind of kinyan is going on here? And furthermore, peiros heichi ochel, how is he eating peiros from this property? If both Rav and Shmuel agree that he really didn't intend to purchase the karka, how could he possess it? Answers the Gemara, Sofer. The person who purchases the property, even though he knows it's a stolen piece of property, thinks to himself the following. I'm going to go down to land for Eved Ve'echel B'Gavei. I'll work on it. I'll consume the produce that it makes. Similar to what the Goslin would have done. And now, when the owner of the property will come to claim his property, money will be there. The Rav don't become either a deposit according to Rav, the Shmuel don't matana, or according to Shmuel will be matana, and he'll be able to take that money from the Goslin.